Most of us know that just because somebody gets sentenced to prison doesn't necessarily mean the criminality stops with that person. In fact, some people go to prison and have more power inside than they do outside. But what about the prison guards? Most prison guards are good people. They're just doing a very difficult job in a difficult environment. But there is a level of corruption within the correctional system among the prison guards. My next guest is DJ Vodica. For 16 years, he was a prison guard in California's highest security prisons, serving meals to gang leaders, serial killers in lockdown cells, and patrolling exercise yards filled with violent felons while unarmed and outnumbered 1,000-2. He belonged to an elite unit called the Investigative Services Unit, or Internal Affairs, responsible for solving horrific crimes inside the walls. He was a decorated veteran officer. He then became the largest whistleblower to uncover a group of rogue prison guards who called themselves the Green Wall, a book he later wrote. The Green Wall is a real-life drama of one man's courage to do the right thing against the California state prison system. It is an unblinking look at what can go wrong when one person is willing to stand up and speak for what is right against almost insurmountable odds. His televised state Senate testimony exposed a scandal that led to resignations, transfers, sudden retirements, and reforms of the system that are still underway. The story is a classic tale of triumph of one person's integrity in the most dishonest place imaginable. A powerful episode. DJ Vodica, next on the CJ Evolution Podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Patrick here. Thank you so much for tuning in. That's why we continue to grow. That's why we're the top-ranked CJ Evolution podcast, because of you. Keep sharing it with your family and friends. And if you love the content, you love the show, please head over to Apple Podcasts. Give us that rating and review, that five-star review. We sure would appreciate it. A big shout out to all the brave men and women working in the criminal justice field. Whatever you're doing, maybe it's corrections, maybe it's the front line as a first responder on patrol or a road deputy, whatever you are doing, thank you for doing it. Remember this, folks. You are honored, cherished, and above all, you are loved. Never forget that. Stay strong. Folks, I want to tell you about my good friends at Extra Duty Solutions. Now, Extra Duty Solutions helps law enforcement agencies add efficiency and effectiveness to their extra duty programs while allowing them to focus on what really matters. That's the safety of their citizens. They work with law enforcement agencies everywhere to administer their extra duty program. They can help with client interactions, scheduling, invoicing, collections, officer payments, and so much more. Now, best of all, their services are provided at no cost to the department and a minimal cost to the clients. Programs can be customized to meet the goals and unique needs of any agency. Folks, if you head over to extradutysolutions.com, that's extradutysolutions.com, see how they can help with your extra duty program. Folks, if you love coffee, you know what I'm going to tell you. You're going to love the products from Four Sigmatic. My favorite is the Lion's Mane Mushroom Coffee. It gives me that energy and clarity that I need to get me through my busy and often hectic day. You're going to love these products. If you head over to cjevolution.com, see the link to Four Sigmatic. They got cocos, elixirs, coffees. They have it all. You will get 15% off using the promo code CJEVO. Enjoy.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help right now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Are drug and alcohol problems hitting you too close to home? Get help right now. Insurance may cover everything.
800-210-7907. 800-210-7907. 800-210-7907. That's 800-210-7907.
Are you tired of high cable TV rates? Sign up for Dish today and get a $500 bonus offer while supplies last. Plus, lock in your price for 2 years guaranteed. Call All American Dish, your Dish authorized retailer now.
800-471-0253. 800-471-0253. That's 800-471-0253.
Offers require credit qualification, 24-month commitment, early termination fee, and e-auto pay. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
On to the show with DJ Vodica. Hello, everybody. Very excited to have my next guest on the show, DJ Vodica. He spent 16 years with the California prison system as a security professional.
security guard who worked for the Elite Investigative Services Unit, which is like the Internal Affairs Division. He also has a great book out there called The Green Wall. DJ, are you there, sir?
Yes, sir, I am. Thanks, Paxter, for letting me come on your show.
Well, I appreciate it, brother, for taking the time. I know I want to talk about your book, which is a hit. I was reading the reviews on Amazon, and it's I gotta pick up this book. And I always ask, people that are within the criminal justice system, what led you down your path, brother? What was the catalyst that got you into what you did?
I always wanted to become some type of law enforcement officer back when I was going through high school and junior college, which I got a two-year degree in criminal justice. But when I had a basketball scholarship, I pursued that for about a year, and then I came home and I wanted to get into some type of law enforcement, but it was a hiring freeze at all the agencies in California. Mm-hmm. So I ended up going in the United States Army for four years, which was stationed at Fort Bragg, North Carolina. I was detached to a special forces unit at Bragg. And then when I got out of the Army in 1987, I tested for the Department of Corrections, which the prison system was like a boom. Everything was being built. Prisons were being left and right. The three-strike law was coming in. And I started my career in March of 1988 with the California Department of Corrections as a correctional officer. Otherwise known, we were peace officers.
First of all, thank you for your service, military. I think before we started, I told you I was in the Army. I was down with the 82nd. I think we were there at a little bit different times down at Bragg, but thank you for your military service, sir. I always wonder, do you think it's a natural progression with like people coming out of the military to gravitate towards, criminal justice careers? Because I know it was for me.
Yeah, because that was a booming thing in the 80s,
Yeah.
I mean, they were hiring left and right for all law enforcement, California Highway Patrol, state troopers all through the nation. There was a shortage of law enforcement. I think that was the big boom.
You were a decorated, pivoting again, you were a decorated veteran officer, in California working in the prison system. You became the largest whistleblower to uncover a group of rogue prison guards who called themselves the Green Wall, hence the title of your book. What kind of things, we'll get back to the book in a minute, but you must have seen some serious shit in your time as working in the prisons, brother.
I've seen riots. I've done crime scenes on heavy gang members that were murdered in their cells. I've done gassings. Officers been gassed by feces and urine by inmates. I've collected crime scenes on some horrific homicide scenes or suicide scenes. I've seen it all. I mean, I was the evidence officer for 6 years out of three prisons, so I'm the first one on the scene and to mark off crime scene tape and to get everything done, to photograph it out from beginning to end. So yeah, I seen everything. I seen dirty staff coming in the prison with dirty stuff. I mean, it's the investigations unit, the ISU, which we were called the Goon Squad. We had privilege to everything. Where the line staff didn't know everything that was going on, but we did.
Now, I know your book, it talks about, the corruption with the prison guards. I mean, not all, for people who are listening who are in the, this is not an indictment on the whole, every prison guard, correct? I mean, but there was a small faction of just kind of corrupt people, right?
That's correct. I mean, there's not all corrections officers aren't corrupt, but there's a selective few at each prison. I say about 5% of them that make it rough on other prisoners. I mean, other correctional officers do their job.
Yeah.
And at Salinas Valley State Prison, that's where the Green Wall formed after the Thanksgiving riot in 1998, which that big story is in the book, how they formed themselves, called the Green Wall, or the 723.
Because I know in law enforcement, DJ, I come from and people always ask me, well, why did the department, hire this problem cop? Well, in my experience, coming from my background, we just don't intentionally hire bad people. It usually happens they get into the system, in this case, criminal justice, and they start hanging out with the bad cops. Is that how it is within the prison system too, from the security guard perspective?
Yeah, I mean, we're actually not called security guards, we're called correctional officers.
I'm sorry.
That's okay, but yeah, it's go along with them or don't go along with them.
Yeah.
If you didn't go along with them, they made it hard on you. I mean, if you didn't want to be a part of these guys, the Green Wall, you'd go out to your car and maybe scratching a rat in your hood or your side or slice your tires. You know, if you stood up against these guys, they made it rough on you. They didn't back you on calls. They ostracized you. I mean, you name it.
So what were these correctional officers doing? And you know, what kind of, you know, corruption were they involved in, DJ?
They would have parties, you know, off sites. Like if the seventh day of the fell on a Friday, because seven is a G and 23rd is a W, they have little parties and get together and plan out what they're going to do the following week to what inmate and what yard. And what they would do, they would actually go up and plant inmate manufactured weapons in these inmate cells to give them more time, you know, give them the third strike, especially if some guys were going home within a week. You know, they're going home, they've been down for 15, 20 years and they get ready to parole. Well, you might not parole now. These members of the Green Wall would go up and plant a weapon in your cell, and now you're looking to get more time, because who the court's going to believe? They're not going to believe the inmate. They're going to believe the staff member.
Yeah.
And sometimes these prison guards would go down to the certain yards and tune up other inmates and just to mess with them, to go and fuck with them. They'd go down there and they would actually pull them out of their bunks and take them around the side of the wall and tune them up, you know, and destroy their property. They were told by the warden at the prison to go put fear and intimidation to these inmates, because no inmate's going to control our prison. We control our prison.
Wow. We're talking with DJ Vodica. We'll be right back after this short break.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help right now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Are drug and alcohol problems hitting you too close to home? Get help right now. Insurance may cover everything.
800-210-7907. 800-210-7907. 800-210-7907. That's 800-210-7907.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Talking to my very special guest, DJ Vodica. Now, DJ, we were talking about some of the things as far as corruption with some of the correctional officers. Now, I mean, were the correctional officers, I know they were working against the inmates, where they're actually planting evidence, like you said. Were there actual officers that were actually sneaking in stuff for the inmates, too?
They were not members of the Green Wall. There were officers bringing in cell phones for inmates and all that, because inmates were, you know, they get to the officer and the officer, when the overtime dried up at some of the prisons at our prison, that the officers were always relying on overtime to make the ends meet at home. So these inmates would get to the officer and hey, tell the officer, hey, go get me a cell phone at Walmart with a 400 minute and I'll have my people put $500 in your checking account. So they were doing this kind of legal stuff, you know, some of them were. But a lot of them were doing illegal criminal activity when they did cell extractions. These officers would throw up a sign that looks like a W and go in there and do a hideous and excessive use of force on inmates that weren't called for.
Yeah. Now, for what exactly is a cell extraction, DJ, for people who don't know that are listening to the show?
Cell extraction is a team of about four prison guards. They have the biggest guy in front with a shield, and then the next guy is with a baton, and the next guy was with leg restraints, and the next guy was with handcuffs. And they would actually, the door would be popped, whether it be two inmates or one inmate in the cell, and they actually charge in there to get the inmate. The inmate would not come out by himself, so he would barricade himself in the cell, and he refused to come out, so we'd have to go in and get him.
So your career was humming along. You were, you know, I mean, you were a rising star in your field. What was the thing that changed it all? What was the catalyst, DJ?
When I was ordered by the warden at the prison, he called me in one day and asked me he wanted all the knowledge I knew about these guys called the Green Wall. And I said, sir, I work with these guys. These guys are my peers. You know, I have to work with these guys. And he said, Officer Vodica, I'm ordering you to write a report. And I want that report on my desk by Monday. So I reached out to a good friend of mine who was my squad sergeant at Pelican Bay, and Joe Reynoso, and called him right away and said, hey, just write the report, everything you know, stamp it confidential, and hand it in to him. And that's what I did. And then about 2 months later, some of the guys on the investigative service unit came down where I was working in the vehicle sally port and threatened my life and quoted verbatim what I wrote in the report to the warden.
So the warden wanted, he Was the warden himself corrupt, or did he just wanted information on the corruption? What kind of report did he want?
I don't want to speak a lot about it, but it's in the book towards the end. He was corrupt.
Okay.
He was in charge of the Greenwall members at the prison.
Okay.
He didn't report what was going on at the prison by these Greenwall members, even to his higher ups in Sacramento. His bosses in Sacramento did not know what's going on until I testified in the state Senate hearings in 2004. I was subpoenaed up by two senators that were doing a government oversight on the Department of Corrections. And I ended up testifying in a packed house at the state Senate, our Sacramento State Capitol, when Schwarzenegger was our governor at the time.
And I know, you know, you mentioned just a couple of moments ago, you know, these correctional officers were threatening you. And you've had threats on your life. And I remember reading somewhere, DJ, that you had a threat of on your life in front of one of your kids, right?
Yeah, I was, my mom and dad used to go down to Pismo Beach all the time. And I have a little boy back then. He was like 5-6 years old. And he was living in Oregon. And I was already off from the prison system. I was on stress, PTSD, workman's comp. I was out on medical leave during this whole ordeal. And my son goes, "Hey, Dad, can we go to that fair one day in Paso Robles?" I go, "Yeah, son, well, absolutely." So I took my son down to see his grandma and grandpa. And then later that night, I took my son up to the fair and we had a great time. And I was still wearing a bulletproof vest because I brought down the Department of Corrections after the Senate hearings and ended up going to the fair with my son. And as we were leaving the fair, I was approached by a sergeant who worked at Salinas Valley State Prison. Got right into my face and said, "Officer Vodica, you need to drop this case, let it go. And my son was startled, and I was startled.
Wow.
He got upset, my son was crying, and I had to get him out of there right away.
Jesus Christ. I mean, do you think, DJ, that anything has changed within the, I mean, I don't know if you keep track of it. I imagine you have your finger on the pulse of it a little bit since you've been gone. I mean, do you think anything has changed within the system, at least in California, since you blew the whistle?
Well, when I testified in the Senate hearings shortly after that, there were laws changed for whistleblowers in the Department of Corrections to come forward so they wouldn't face retribution or retaliation. And also there was policies and procedures within the Department of Corrections when I exposed the Greenwald at the Senate hearings. So yeah, there was major revamping of the system in that way. But no, I mean, Greenwald will always be in the Department of Corrections. And lately, in San Diego, RJD in a prison down there, it's actually resurfacing again there and other institutions in California. I mean, even the union, you know what bothers me, Patrick, is I went up to my chapter president in the union, asking for help. You know, I went directly to his face. And he looked at my uniform, he says, "Oh, you're Officer Vodica. We've been advised not to talk to you," and he walked away from me.
Wow.
His legal, which it's in the book. He testified in the Senate hearings. And he told the senators that he was advised not to talk to me, to his legal counsel, because the union, they protect the dirty staff. They protect the correctional officers who do wrongdoing. They don't protect the correctional officers who do the right thing.
That's BS. That's bullshit. I mean, you paid your union dues. They should be protecting, or they should have been protecting you. That is ridiculous.
I had to reach out, Patrick. They wouldn't back me. I couldn't even get legal to help me fight this case. I had to go out and seek a lawyer who stuck by my side, you know, Lanny Tron. He's out of Camarillo, California, Ventura County. And from the beginning to the end, he battled. It was just me and him. And we took on the Department of Corrections. I went up against 30,000 correctional officers and staff in the Department of Corrections. Luckily, I have a wife that, you know, I met out here in Arizona where I live. And she stuck by my side the whole time. And I had a special friend that he's in the book. His name's Joe Renoso. And he's the only one that stuck by my side ever since all this happened.
Wow. Talking with DJ Vodica. We'll be right back on the CJ Evolution podcast.
Are you tired of high cable TV rates? Sign up for Dish today and get a $500 bonus offer while supplies last. Plus, lock in your price for 2 years guaranteed. Call All American Dish, your Dish authorized retailer now.
800-471-0253. 800-471-0253. That's 800-471-0253.
Offers require credit qualification, 24-month commitment, early termination fee, and e-auto pay. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
Hello, everybody. Back again. Patrick here, along with my very special guest, DJ Vodica. And we were talking about, your book, The Green Wall, and the corruption. I still blows me away. Well, I guess it doesn't. It doesn't, and it does, because I come from a law enforcement. I've seen the same protection for shitty cops by unions before. But it, I mean, my God, I mean, it just... It has to just, get you in that mindset. Is everything like this? You know what I mean? I mean, is the whole system corrupt? Are prisons everywhere in the United States like the one I'm experiencing right now? Are they like that? I mean, you got to be thinking that, or you probably did.
Yeah, I think there's a certain few that make it hard on other staff.
Yeah.
But, California Department of Corrections, Patrick, is the largest prison system in the United States and probably in the Western world. I mean, I don't think... when I got out of the prison system, there's 36 prisons built with 180,000 inmates combined. That's men and women. I mean, it's huge, huge business. And there's certain few that make it hard on staff, I think, in California and all the way through the United States. I mean, yeah, you're going to have bad apples in every profession.
Yeah, you're right. You're exactly right. I mean, now you mentioned before, brother, about I can't imagine, the stress and the stuff that you have dealt with, probably still dealing with to some degree. How did you manage to keep it all together? When you were going through this, I mean, obviously you're stressed. How did you keep it together?
Well, after the Senate hearings, it really helped me out. After the Senate hearings, I testified. I was moved off the grid in Northern California, behind two lock gates. And I went into hiding. I went into hiding for 6 months off the grid in an isolated cabin up in Northern California near Mount Shasta for 6 months until all this calmed down, until I start my legal stuff. I mean, the picture's in the book, the story's in the book. It's an isolated area. It's like, remember that movie with Robert Redford, and remember he was out in the country or the woods, Jeremiah Johnson?
Yeah.
Jeremiah Johnson?
Yeah.
Well, that's where I was living at, Patrick, or something like that. I was 20 miles off the grid.
Wow.
And it was great. It was great R&R, and stress decreased a little bit and all that until I came back out of hiding. I had to come back out of hiding to bury my father.
Oh, sorry to hear that. Sorry to hear that. I mean, but like you said, it was probably, it was probably a good stress reliever. I mean, you're out in the woods, in the wilderness, a lot of time to think. I mean, do you regret anything that, the path that you took, DJ? Now that you said you were isolated and probably a lot of time to think. I mean, did you think, why did I do this? I mean, why did I come forward? I could have just stayed quiet. Did you ever have those?
No, because I was raised by some great parents.
Absolutely.
With ethics and morals and everything, and do the right thing. I took an oath in the academy after I graduated. I didn't take an oath to break the code of silence. I took an oath to uphold, to serve and to protect,
But
the inmates were sent to prison by the courts and the jury. We were there just to watch over and protect them, to keep them safe and secure.
Did you see, imagine you saw a lot of good officers, correctional officers over your years, that probably wanted to say something, but kind of just turned their head the other way, that they were good people like you, but maybe they just kind of, they had to go along with it, right?
Correct. If, like I said earlier, if you weren't part of the Green Wall and you didn't go along with their little clique, they made it hard on you. They ostracized you and all that. I had some good friends at Salinas Valley State Prison, even though some of them weren't part of the Green Wall. But when I blew the whistle on the Department of Corrections and I opened up a can of worms, they had nothing to do with me after that. I mean, it's hard to stomach. But I had one person, Joe Renoso. I mean, strong guy. I met him at Corcoran State Prison when I started Corcoran, and he transferred to Pelican Bay before I was still at Corcoran. And a couple of years later, we met up, and he believed in me, believed in my story to now. And actually, he flanked me into the state capitol, and he moved me off the grid and everything else. So it's guys like that don't come along very much.
Yeah. So you have no contact with any of the, with the exception of a few, Joe, and any other contact with people within the system, that, or they just kind of write you off?
They wrote me off. I mean, the only people I have contact with is, Joe Renoso and Lanny Tron, my lawyer, that represented me. I contact him every once in a while, but other than that, I'm pretty isolated. I don't go to California unless I have to. But yeah. When I was going to California, Patrick, real quick, when I went to workman's comp hearing, I had to get escorted into wearing a bulletproof vest, and I had to get escorted into the workman's comp courthouse per the judge by the California Highway Patrol. When I went into the courtroom, he didn't want me in there alone with anybody. He wanted Highway Patrol standing inside the court and outside the court. Jeez. And then when I left the court, they escorted me where I was going back home. I had to drive 600 miles home, and they followed me out to where I was isolated and let me go. They ordered the workman's comp judge order protection on me when I was in his courthouse.
You know, getting back to, you know, because again, I think prisons are portrayed a certain way in television's shows and the movies, and you probably agree with that. I mean, I always, you know, see shows where the prison gangs are just, you know, they have more power sometimes than they in the prison system than they do outside. Is that the case, DJ, with a lot of these prison gangs?
Oh yeah, they're big time power inside the prison system. The prison gangs in the system inside behind the walls control the yards, control their little groups, control their cliques. But they feared the Green Wall Prison Guard gang, because the Green Wall Prison Guard gang could do what they want and do whatever they want. So they feared them. When the Green Wall guards came on the yard, the ISU came on the yard got quiet. I mean, when they're not on the yard, they're loud, screaming, yelling. But once they stepped onto the yard, they showed that big old camaraderie. The yard got quiet because something was going to happen.
Wow. It just always, because, you know, and again, it's just the way it's portrayed, I guess, and it's Hollywood and all this other shit. But it's almost like it's portrayed in Hollywood where the prison, the correctional officers are, you know, they get a lot of shit from the prisoners, which I imagine is true. But I've just never seen, you know, it portrayed where, you know, here comes, you know, ISU or something like that, and the whole yard gets quiet. Of course, I've never worked in a prison, but it's just amazing how things are portrayed, you know, in Hollywood and the movies as opposed to real life.
Well, you know, the prisons I worked at, Patrick, all of them were, most of the guys were in for murder. 85% were for murder. They were level 4 prisons or SHU. Pelican Bay was a total lockup for all the indeterminate gang members, all the gang members throughout the system. That's where they housed them. So wow. It was the worst of the worst.
Wow. We're talking again with DJ Vodka. We'll be right back.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help right now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Are drug and alcohol problems hitting you too close to home? Get help right now. Insurance may cover everything.
800-210-7907. 800-210-7907. 800-210-7907. That's 800-210-7907.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Talking to my very special guest, DJ Vodka. DJ, now we were talking about the crazy stuff, the gangs and the you know, some riots and stuff that happened that you witnessed. Tell us about some of the more serious stuff.
Well, you know, during the Thanksgiving riot, when it all happened, the inmates were laid down in the yard, prone position, because there were weapons on the yards. No staff member got stabbed, but they were laying under weapons and all that. So when the inmates were handcuffed and brought up to the hobby room where I was taking pictures of them, well, some of these guys in the Green Wall came up and they said, "Officer Vodka, what are you doing?" I said, "I'm taking pictures of these guys. You know, we have to protect ourselves. You know, I don't want anything to happen later on. You know, these guys got beat up or whatever." He said, one of the guards said, "Well, you're going to rat on us now, Officer Vodka?" I said, "Just let me do my job."
Yeah.
So after they took these inmates back to their cells, before they put them back in their cells, they tuned them up. I mean, threw them against the wall, beat them down, wow, destroyed their property, threw their televisions on the ground. They just went off on them. And that's what really came back and bit them.
Yeah.
And that's what really started the big thing on the event. The OIA came down from Sacramento, Internal Affairs. The Inspector General came down. When they talked to me, they came to my house for 4 hours and spoke to me about what happened. 2 weeks later after that, they raided the prison, went into the warden's office, told him to get out, told ISG to get out, confiscated computers, logbooks, you name it. And it's in the book. The Inspector General's report's in the book. I leave nothing out of that book, Patrick.
Yeah.
That book is so solid. There's names in it. As a matter of fact, there's a lot of attorneys out there that utilize my book as a reference to their cases in California.
Wow. And again, the book is called The Green Wall. Now, DJ, what was the catalyst? I mean, what at what point did you say, you know, I'm gonna write a book? I mean, did you know right away, or did you say, you know, I'm gonna do the right thing, which you did, and get this out there for public consumption, to let people know about what was happening?
At my civil hearings, my lawsuit hearings, when we settled with the department, department knew I had a lot of knowledge. You know, attorneys and the AG, Attorney General. They tried to put a gag order on me.
I was going to say, there was no NDA or anything like that.
No, they tried to do a gag order in front of me and my attorney, and my attorney says, no, you're not going to do that. He didn't offer protection, so he's going to do whatever he wants. So after that, shortly, before my father passed away, his last words to me when I was in the room that, son, you need to write this book. Share it with the world. Let everybody know what they did to you. Share what goes behind the walls. Everybody needs to know. So that's what I did, Patrick. I wrote a book. I sat down for about 2 years. My wife said, go in the room, honey, start typing. And I started typing, and the book was like 340 pages, shrunk down to 180, but the powerful points are in there. And just recently, about a year ago, I had a person in LA that's in the entertainment business. That person loves the story. And right now we're making something happen.
Oh, that's amazing, brother. I mean, that's good news. What advice, DJ? I mean, for the person listening who is, you know, thinking about getting into, you know, working in corrections as a correctional officer, what advice would you give people that are looking at that career field?
Just go in and do the right thing. Just remember, once you put that badge on and have pride in yourself, and don't get caught up in the bad apples. Remember, if you have a family at home and you have a wife and kids, remember, you have to support them. I mean, that's California Department of Corrections are the highest paid in the United States. I mean, they make good money. Why do you want to jeopardize your career for something stupid and hideous from others doing something? You know what? Yeah. Let them fall. Let them fall. Let them burn. You just step in there and keep yourself safe and move forward and promote as high as you can and get out safely and retire with a great career.
Yeah. I tell recruits, I teach a lot and talk to a lot of you know, young people that, you know, want to get into law enforcement. I tell them the same thing you just said, brother. I said, you're going to encounter, you know, bad cops, you know, cops that are doing, you know, bad shit. And you want to migrate to the people who are, you're going to be good mentors to you, who are going to be good influences to you. Because like we were talking about, nobody hires the bad correctional officer intentionally, or the bad cop intentionally. Well, maybe some do, but you know, the vast majority of people go in and they start hanging out with the bad apples, and then that's when shit goes wrong.
That's correct. I mean, my lawyer, he represented a widow a couple of years ago. I don't know if you can Google it later, Patrick, at High Desert State Prison, where that officer had a wife and a little boy at home in Susanville, California. And he saw a lot of corruption at one of the prisons up there. Same similar stuff that I saw, but mine's a lot worse. He ended up going out to telling his wife that he was going to work, and his wife took the little boy to school. He never went to work. He went up into the high country and left a suicide note and blew his head off.
And that's another thing.
Suicide's pretty high.
Yeah, I was going to say, and that's, I mean, I can't imagine it's you know, the stuff you see, the threats you get, you know, it's just, it's an unfortunate reality. Law enforcement, as you probably know, DJ, is the same. I think we're on record to be one of the highest years of officer, you know, officers taking their own lives. And it's, I'm glad that you obviously got the help you needed and, you know, took steps to kind of mitigate the stress. And other advice would you give correctional officers out there that are dealing with stress? And I mean, what advice would you give them to help cope with it?
Talk to somebody.
Yeah.
Go see a psychologist. Go see a psychiatrist.
Yeah.
Talk to your friend. Talk to somebody. Don't just let it eat you up inside.
Yeah.
And curl up into a ball and do nothing. That's what I, you know, at first when all this happened, I was curled up in a little ball. I didn't want to move for 2 or 3 weeks until I got medical advice and medical help and had good people behind me that supported me. And here I am today. I'm you know, 58 years old and having a great life, living retirement and just enjoying life with my wife and traveling and just getting out there. You know,
yeah.
Don't think about this. That's the worst thing you can do is think about suicide, because you're only hurting yourself and others who love you and appreciate you around.
Yeah, great advice. And I you and I are pretty close in age, and I remember growing up, especially in the military, DJ. I mean, you know, coming from you know, SF. I mean, you just didn't show any weaknesses. That wasn't, you know, it's not the thing to do from a, you know, you just can't say, look, I need help. I mean, I'm sure some people did, but you were often looked down at, especially in law enforcement. I remember you being in critical incidents as a young officer and they said, okay, all right, that's done. Get back to work. But if you are, you know, suffering out there, you know, like you said, I mean, there's resources out there, just talk to somebody and you know, you're not doing anybody, most importantly, yourself good by just internalizing it.
That's correct. Really, you know, live your full life. You know, he puts you on the earth to live your full life, not to take your life. Just live your full life.
Yeah. Well, DJ Vodica, where can people find your book, brother?
You can find my book on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com. And that's only really two places. Is I self-published the book, so I control the rights to it. I didn't go to a big Harper, Random House, whatever. But the book's doing real well. I mean, it's real low in the rankings and Amazon, and a lot of people are grabbing it right now. You know what? Because criminal justice reform right now is a hot topic in the United States.
Oh, yeah.
especially with BLM and all, you know, all this stuff going on and Antifa and all that. But prison reform in the United States, I mean, there's no book, Patrick, no book even close to what I published in the United States, I've been told. I mean, your book is so powerful. I mean, it's you went up against your own. My own union wouldn't even back me. I mean, wow. I've never been challenged on this book. Nobody's ever challenged me because everything in the book is physical evidence. I have everything in that book that I have, and I kept everything. You know, I was taught to keep everything.
Wow. Well, DJ, God bless you, brother. Thank you for coming on the show. Everything we talked about will be linked up in the show notes. Again, check out The Green Wall, DJ Vodica. Thank you, sir, for coming on the show, and much success to you in the future.
Thanks, Patrick. I enjoyed coming on your show. Thank you very much.
Take care, brother.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast. For more strategies for self-improvement and resources based on today's episode, be sure to head to cjevolution.com. You can also connect to Patrick directly on social media at @Pat_Fitzgibbons with any questions, comments, or concerns. We look forward to helping you find more personal success on the next episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast.